Oh, it is Jesus. Let us sing. Amen. You may be seated. May this day be consecrated unto the Lord. And may what will be said today, not only what will be said, but what has to be said today, may it all be understandable for us. May it be revealed unto us, so that really all are being taught by God and are becoming one heart and one soul. We are, of course, very near to the return of Jesus Christ. We see it at the signs of the times, and in particular on the people of Israel. And we see it on the enemies of Israel who want to just to blot out this people because it has no right to exist. But God says, God has the last word. I don't like it very much, but just for your information now, the travel agency made a suggestion to us for an Israel trip from the 3rd to the 13th of May 2010, this time much cheaper than the last time, about €1,700. We are coming now to the point, and as already emphasized many times, with a commission is also responsibility connected. We just heard it from Brother Thomas, and there are also brothers from Europe. Since many years they have been in the USA. They met the brothers there. Brother Maynard was also in Jeffersonville. Who was it from Paris? And other brothers were also there. But actually, I don't need any confirmation of a man. God confirmed. He opened doors unto the ends of the earth. And the message was carried. What of course causes very much pain are some things which we have to declare as a falsification. This book here before me, The Story of a Prophet, of a well-known man, published. And here it says, what he has written, and not that what Brother Branham was told. I just will read it to you, what this man has said here in his book, namely, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, so you are sent to forerun his second coming. In the next quote, he says it like this: as John was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, so you are sent to forerun his second coming. In both quotes, the word message is missing in both of them. In both. And this is the big trouble. Whether this error was done on purpose, even in the new house in Tucson, Arizona, it is engraved in the door, in the wooden door, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent to forerun the second coming of Christ. And with this, for all the brothers in the USA, for all, the end has come. And afterward, nothing comes anymore. And Brother Frank has no right at all to preach. Only Brother Branham was sent. Only he was the promised prophet. And all who are now claiming to carry the message, they are in error, and they have to be rejected. And this is the great tragedy which is happening since 30 years. And therefore all the brothers from the USA and all who are under their influence, they separated themselves. Either they are preaching only what Brother Branham said and are interpreting it, or they just play the original tapes and are giving their comments to it. This beloved brother here, he even said something very bad, and he wrote it down. Some believe that the voice has said, your message will forerun his second coming. I underlined it here. Here it's written. Some believe it would have been nice if he would have said, if he would have written, one believes. Then one would have known exactly what is being meant here. But he wrote, some believe that the voice has said, your message or the message will forerun his second coming. We made the effort. Everybody can do it of you. We have 16 quotes here. 16 quotes I have from the mouth of Brother Branham. I have it before me. And everyone on earth can push some buttons and can take it out from the internet. In every quote which Brother Branham brought over his lips is the word message, beginning with the 15th of May 1954, and for the last time on the 18th of February 1965. 16 quotes, and in every quote, let me read two or three of them. Here's one, which seems to be very, very important. You all know, Brother Branham heard the words, look up, when he was about to baptize the 17th person. And here he says it, in this quote, from the 10th of February 1960, I read, Look up. When I was looking up, this light came down. People begin fainting, falling, and a voice came that shook all around the place there and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, the message that is given you will be a forerunner of the second coming of Christ. And then he makes an adding to it. Not that I would be a forerunner, but the message was the forerunning. You can all read it. With great pain, with much pain, I take notice of these things which have gone wrong, where brothers thought to do something. Only when God speaks out a sending and commission, only then one should take care of what the Lord has said. One more quote. When I was about to baptize the 17th person, I heard something say, look up. And as I looked up, that pillar of fire was circling down from heaven, right over me where I was standing, and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. I didn't say this. This the Lord said from the pillar of fire and from the pillar of cloud. Who are these brothers who are daring to claim something different and to mislead the people? I could read on here. It would be interesting if you would all read these original quotes. We have it here in English and also in the German language here, so that they can be checked and all can read it. I don't want to make any more remarks here. For me, everything is connected with great pain. And especially after the past 30 years, where everything is divided and split. Some are running after this one, the others are running and following this man. And everywhere is just confusion. And all are singing, the Lord is coming soon, hallelujah. All are speaking of message and messenger, and all are bypassing what God is doing right now. And this is the great pain which we are having in us. And this was not enough. On the 27th of September, 1979, this same brother, together with Brother Searle, they signed a letter. And in this letter it says, may Brother Frank even preach. May one give him the platform. Brothers and sisters, I just say these things with great pain in my heart. I am aware that the return of Jesus Christ is really at the door. And I noted down some things here, especially when Brother Branham, on the 19th of March, 1962, he said, when the divided Berlin is again united, and when Germany is one country again, then the Roman Empire will come up as it was in the days of our Lord. Just think of it. Most of you are of a younger generation, but on the 13th of August 1961, the wall was erected, the barbed wire was built, and all seemed to remain like this. And just 1 year later, after the building of the wall, the prophet of God says, when Berlin is no more divided and Germany is united, then the Europe is coming up again. And if you then go into the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 2 and chapter 7, the fourth world empire will just be there. And it comes up more and more. It's shaping up more and more. Now we have 27 countries. All of Europe is included. Russia, of course, has a special function. The King of the North. To then, when the hour comes, to do the punishment. Also about this, Brother Branham spoke. But just let us think of it. 1961, Cuba crisis. Nikita Khrushchev is in New York, takes off his shoe, puts it around, and knocks the shoe onto the pulpit, onto the desk, and is threatening the whole world. And the whole world was divided. I say it once again. On the 19th of March 1962, the prophet of God sees the development which will be at the end, namely the uniting. And then the Roman Empire comes up again, as it was also foretold in the Holy Scripture. And just let us look back. Yesterday we celebrated the Day of Unity of Germany. Actually, the date is wrong. It was the 9th of November 1989. And I tell you also why it was declared as a false date. One didn't want to remember the 9th of November 1938, when all the synagogues were destroyed in Germany and went up in flames. One didn't want to memorize this 9th of November, when this great tragedy started, and when the Jews then were persecuted, and 6 million were murdered. But we will not mix into politics here. We just say it once again. We are not only living in the end time, we are living at the end of the end time. And if you took note of, in the sermons of Brother Branham, about as often as he used and mentioned Malachi 4, that God would send a prophet and promised the prophet, so also he mentioned Luke 17, and there it is about the verses 26 to verse 30, as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was, so it will be again in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed. Just be honest now, in all the governments, everywhere, only Sodom and Gomorrah. And all who are living normally, they are looked at as not normal. And all who are living not normal, they are looked at being normal. It's just a Sodom. And we see it before our eyes. And such people are celebrated and let themselves be celebrated. Also, this is necessary, brothers and sisters. This was a scripture which time and again was in the heart and on the lips of Brother Branham. And if we then go to Luke 21, here, the end time is described. Luke 21, in verse 24, that what concerns Israel. Luke 21, verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This is a special part which the Lord in a couple of words has expressed. And we of course all witnessed it, being scattered among all nations. But we also experienced it. They were gathered from all nations. Whether this is now the up-to-date stand, I don't know. But out of 143 countries, they were gathered and were brought back into the land of their fathers, into the land of promise. They were brought back. That when the time comes, that they are there where they belong, to have part in the fulfillment of the promises which God has given them. This is the one part. The second part concerns then the nations and also the natural catastrophes. In verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You all know it. At the last earthquake in Sumatra, I was standing in the hotel lobby, the reception, and suddenly, we were all shaking a bit. And we were looking up to the chandelier hanging, and this chandelier was swinging before our eyes, was swinging, and we were also swinging a bit. And now, once again, we just heard it in the news, the sea and the waves roaring. There's a sound connected to it. Everything is fulfilled in our days. I don't have much time to listen to the news, but in the days of our election here in Germany, I looked at the news, and then came the news about the earthquakes. Then it was shown what kind of earthquakes happened in the last 200 years on the earth. 1906 in Los Angeles, all these earthquakes, they were shown, among others, also the San Andreas Fault, and how it goes further apart from day to day. And they are counting now that the big earthquake, which will start in Seattle in the north, and then it will include Los Angeles and San Francisco, it will not be just seconds, but it will last for minutes. And the greatest catastrophe it will be which happening on the earth. But now comes the great but. Is this then the right that a man can say when the earthquake takes place, then the resurrection of the dead takes place? No, and again, no, he has no right. Everything has to remain in the divine order. You all know exactly what I mean. I will not apologize for it. The truth of God has to be in a servant of God, and the truthfulness of God is only connected with the truth, not with an illusion. And then comes the third quotation of this beloved brother, that Brother Branham has said that the Lord appeared to him on the same mountain as Moses. And then you of course can think, you can think how I feel. Brother Branham just said, the Lord appeared to me on the mountain as he appeared to Moses in the pillar of fire. It's a big difference. And whether I say on the same mountain or in the same way, it cannot be tolerated that just one twisting remains. God has the right that the truth is triumphing, that the truth is being heard and believed. And to this, we are just here. Now, let us read on here. In Luke 21, here comes then the statement of the fig tree, verse 29. And this we said many times. You can read it in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, that already in the Old Testament, Israel is compared with the symbol of the fig tree. Now, brothers and sisters, it's just about now that we, with all truthfulness, are recognizing the time in which we are living, that we are experiencing our preparation unto the glorious day of our Lord, that we are obedient, no own way, no own will anymore. Have thine own way, Lord, decide you. It's written, his bride has made herself ready. Also these meetings are hours of preparation for the return of our Lord. Also this, let it be mentioned just briefly. It was on the 1st of April 1962 when Brother Branham spoke about that he should not travel to Zurich, but that he should return to Jeffersonville to store in the food there. And as we just heard it of Brother Thomas, at that time I didn't know anything. What did I know, 1958, about what God wanted to do? What did I know, 1962? What did we all know? But God knew step by step. He was taking care that we are led from clarity to clarity, from revelation to revelation we were led. And then, of course, after the 1st of April, there came the 2nd of April. And this I'm saying with all the truthfulness of God. When the Lord gave me the commission to go from city to city to preach his word and to store in the food. And then Brother Branham said, wait with the giving out until you got the rest of it. And this I did. And then came the rest. And then came the new beginning. What did I know? How it would go on? Who opened the doors to the iron curtain? Who made all the contacts all over the earth? God was taking care for it. That with the ministry of Brother Branham, not everything would have come to an end, but that a new beginning was made by God, by His grace. You all know it. Brother Branham was told at his commission, as Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs. When they don't believe the first one, then they will believe the second one. But this was just the leading out. And then since the going home of Brother Branham, the called out ones, the led out ones are brought back into the word of promise. The one is the going out from Egypt, out from everything what is not in line with God, from all slavery and bondage of men, and then the going in to the promised word for our time. In Luke chapter 7, it's still written what the Lord at that time said and how he set forth the ministry of John. Now comes the next one. The complaint was, if Brother Frank was called by the Lord, why did Brother Branham not mention him by name? Yes, a nice argument. I like it very much. But now a question. When God, in the prophet Isaiah 40 and in Malachi 3, he said, a voice cries in the wilderness, and I sent my angel before me, has he there mentioned the name? He just said, what would come? What should come? If the Lord would have said the name, then all would be forced to believe John. God doesn't force anyone. God gives His word, and all who are of God are hearing His word. The same applies to Malachi 4. Behold, I send my messenger. Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great day of the Lord comes. Just imagine. There would have been said, his name is William Branham. Then all would have been forced to believe what this man is preaching. God doesn't force anyone. God fulfills promises. And if we are the children of promise, then we believe the promises and we see the promises fulfilled. Then is also fulfilled what we are reading here in Luke 7 from verse 27 to 30. Luke 7, from verse 27, in reference to John. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John. And here our brothers are stopping, and they say, Brother Branham was more than a prophet. What more? The prophets announced the word, and John the Baptist made the bridge between the Old and the New Testament. If we read this verse unto the end, verse 28, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. God does not give his honor to anyone. Not a single man may be glorified. Not all the glory. All the glory belongs to the Lord our God. Then verse 29 and 30. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. God didn't speak even of baptism. He just gave the promise. He will go before me to prepare my way. How this preparation would take place, this God decided at the time of fulfillment. But the most terrible and the most sad thing comes now in verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. A very serious word. Not only rejecting the prophet or the message, but rejecting the counsel of God against themselves. Not submitting into the will of God. It means to reject the counsel of God and continuing in one's own religion. And this leads to that one misses the gracious day of God's visitation. Let us say today very clearly, without referring to my person now, whoever bypasses what God has done since 1966 on the earth is a scoffer, is a man who spits in the face of God, a man who sins purposely. And friends, be honest now. How many of you, up to 1965, how many of you have heard of a promised prophet, of a ministry, of a message? Is there one of you in our midst who up to 1965 just would have heard something? Would have just heard something, not one. And if you then look into the whole world, the same is repeating all over. First, only after the going home of the messenger of God who brought the message, only then the message could be carried into all the world. And so God took care for in advance. Nobody needs to do something afterward, but we were put into the divine doings to have part in it, whatever God is doing right now. And also today, just looking back now, if we would know everything, and a whole book is just dealing with what the prophet and what the prophet and what the prophet said. I am interested in this book, which tells us what God did and what he promised and what he's doing right now. And alone in looking back and in the glorification of a man of God, nobody will reach the destination. This is the hour in which God leads us back. Actually, today I have a special subject on my heart. the mark of the beast, and what is connected with it. I've said it already last Sunday in Zurich. I just touched upon it. God, in the Old Testament, He declared a statement of faith to His people. He gave it to His people on their way. A statement of faith from the mouth of the Lord. I just would like to mention briefly, the time is of course running, but let us read what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to have the comparison also today at this place in the presence of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read from verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. We all know what it is. The statement of faith of the people of Israel in the mezuzah. And this sign with a text from Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 4 to 9 is in this little wooden box in it. And this mezuzah hangs on every door, in every hotel. There's no house in Israel. Also atheists, communists, they have this sign on the right side of the door. Just to mention it with pain, the Jews in Poland and in all the other countries, they could find the Jews there. They could find the Jews because this sign was on their doors. But we are coming now to a very important point. It should be carried on the forehead and on the hand. Forehead and hand. And whoever goes then to the book of Revelation and finds out that the other statement of faith is also carried, will be carried on the forehead and on the hand. It should be carried as the mark of the beast, as the mark of the last power which will be on the earth. Now, at the restoring of the world empire, Roman Empire, with the headquarters in Rome. All the others are, of course, just next places. Yeah. Just let us read it briefly. God willing, another time, we will come back to it. Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation, chapter 13. We read verse 16 to 18. Revelation 13, verse 16 to 18. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And connected with it is then verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Both belongs together. In verse 18 is the answer in the Word of God. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, the mark of the last world power. You all know. You can look on the $1 bill. The New World Order, introduced by Weishaupt. And in this time, one always hears, time and again, of the New World Order. They wanted to erect it a long time ago, also in the Third Reich. One Reich, one Führer, one leader, a New World Order. But now it comes. Now it really comes. And everything is being united. Just listen how clearly it is. The name of the beast. Four beasts, four world empires. All can read it exactly in the Holy Scripture. What these symbols mean. And here, the direct summary of the last power. And then of that one man whose number is 666, namely Vicarius Filii Dei. Perhaps I will write it again in the circular letter in the next one. Ludwig Schneider from Jerusalem, he made the best publication of it. It would be worth it to publish it, so that we don't have to do it ourselves. We have enough problems. And most probably they don't want to do good things to us when we publish it. But just to say it, as in the Old Testament, God gave a statement of faith to his people along their way. When thou sittest, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when thou art at home, when you are on the way with your children, just one, speak with them about what God has given to his people along their way. You all know that I also read church history. Again, into the nights I was reading it. And whoever looks into church history, how the creed in Christianity was formulated, and how all in all of Christianity were sworn into this creed. And no trace anymore about this one God. No trace. Just of the three persons. Here, I have it. We have it on a picture. A completely different, a very strange statement to the Holy Scripture. A statement made by people who partly were living in Tunisia. One just has to read it up. Where all these gentlemen were coming from, who were gathering in Nicaea, didn't know God at all. But one thing, they were moved of one thing, to curse the people of Israel. to reject the Old Testament and to interpret the New Testament. Just interpretate nothing but interpretations in all these councils. And I tell you, especially with my friend, Brother Menard, in many denominations we had access to, and time and again the question, do you believe the Nicene Chalcedonian Creed? Do you confess the Trinity? Even when we wanted to have a program on the TV, in the first line, it says there, in the first line, the requirements, the conditions are to air a program, the Creed of Nicaea, right in the first line. And what is this creed? That God existed from eternity in three eternal persons. Such a God does not exist. But now everything comes to this one point. Nine churches of the 350 were already identifying themselves with Rome. And friends, we are much closer to the end than we think. And all will have to receive the mark of the beast. The confession which was introduced and which was forced unto all Christianity. Just think of it. When God exists in three, the Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Ghost eternal, Father person, Son a person, Holy Ghost a person, not a single time this is written in the Word of God. Not a single time it's written Triune God. Not a single time it is written in the Word of God, God the Son. Not a single time it's written in the Word of God, God the Holy Ghost. Not a single time it's written in the Word of God that God as Father has begotten the Son in eternity and born him. Even the thoughts are just a blasphemy. How can God be both father and mother? How can he beget and bear? Everything is heathen, pagan. But in the so-called Christianity, it was forced upon. And we will see, the moment comes, and this moment is very, very near, where all will be forced to accept this creed. To accept this creed, or they will lose the right to exist as a church or as a denomination or as a fellowship. And brothers and sisters, I could read you many scriptures from Revelation 14. Let us just read quickly Revelation 14. 6 to 13. Here we have, yes, we will not read everything, of course. Revelation 14, but it's just so important. Verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Then comes the description of what we just touched upon briefly. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And then it comes. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, spiritual fornication. All were forced under his power, and all were drinking. And according to Jeremiah 51, they lost their minds. And here it continues in verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And then the smoke comes up. And then verse 12, and here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith in Jesus. When we read on in Revelation 15, with this we are coming to the end, Revelation 15, and here just verse 2 to 4. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God in their hands. The overcomers, those who didn't go with the bright multitudes, those who did not receive the mark on their forehead and on their hands, but those who remained in the Word of God and who were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Then, verse 3, to show that all are summarized there from the nations and from Israel. Revelation 15, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now, Revelation 16, and here, directly from verse 1 to 3, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. One could just read on and on. Brothers and sisters, many things could be said in this connection. Just the main point here. The Roman Church speaks of pillars upon which the church is built. And the first pillar is the creed of the Trinity, according to their slogan of the Holy Trinity, the first pillar. And the second pillar the Roman triune water baptism confession. And now I have to go to these two pillars. Like Simpson, I have to take them, the one pillar with one hand and the other pillar with the other hand. I have to grab them so that everything collapses. I have no choice. We have reached the end of the time of grace. Truth is truth, lie is lie, and God's word alone is the truth forever and ever. And our statement of faith is that what God has said in His Word. This we want to have on our foreheads, on our hands, on our feet. This we want to carry. And for this we are standing in. Yes, this grace God has given us. And now just one more thought. If God would not have sent a prophet, then I would not know this. You also wouldn't know it. No one of us would know it. God had to send a prophet in our time to give us the insight into the prophetic part of the plan of salvation by His grace. And this has happened by the ministry of Brother Branham. And we are profiting of it. We, as we profit from the ministry of Paul and Peter, as we profit from the ministry of all the prophets and apostles, we just receive all the blessings, so also from the ministry of Brother Branham. But all the glory and all the adoration belongs only to our Lord and God. We believe out of conviction that the one true God, besides whom there is no other, and forever there will be no other, this one God has revealed Himself to realize His own plan of salvation. He revealed Himself in heaven as our Father, on the earth, in His only begotten Son, and in us by the Holy Spirit He revealed Himself. And we have received the adoption, and we thank God. We are not dealing with philosophy, but with the realization of the eternal counsel of our God. And to this, one should read Romans 8. And then we just have to make one remark for all brothers who are opposing the Lord and who are just saying that Revelation 10, verse 7, is already fulfilled and is behind us already. And there I have the very serious question. I hope that these brothers are not coming once again to Krefeld, as now last July, on the 18th and 19th and 20th July they were here, and they didn't even phone me. I hope there will be a conversation. And here my question to all who are claiming that Revelation 10, namely that what will happen at that moment where the seventh trumpet angel will blow the trumpet. My question is, has this been already fulfilled? What has happened in the first trumpet? Has it been fulfilled? What shall happen at in the second trumpet? Has it been fulfilled? What would happen in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth trumpet? No! And how can be fulfilled what happens in the seventh trumpet when from 1 to 6 didn't become a reality yet? The people are caught in their own cleverness, and they were composing their own things which don't belong there at all. Just misunderstandings and again misunderstandings. One has to clarify these things once again. But for us, and I'm just so happy about it, for us, the Lord has his bride as the bridegroom. He has a bride. And that the last call is going forth to the bride of the Lamb, to all who now are hearkening to what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, who by the Spirit of God let themselves be led into the deep things of God. Please take it to heart. Just in the adding of last night, just take it to heart what is written in Romans chapter 8 from verse 28. Receive it in your heart. It's yours. You are spoken to by it. All of us. We are meant with it. All of us. Verse 28 in Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Brother, sister, whether you understand it or not, God knows, and the end will be good, because we are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is the gospel. This is the plan of salvation of our God. He became in the body of flesh like us, so that we can become like him in the resurrection. Blessed be the Lord our God. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Just say amen to it. Nothing will be changed on it. God ordained it that way, and it remains by it. Neither visible nor invisible things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Never we will experience that one child of God accuses another child of God. Never. Who is the accuser? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And all who are accusing brethren are under the influence of Satan. May they hear it all over the earth. The Lord called us unto liberty, and we thank him with all our hearts for it. Now, the last verses. Here it's written. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us, who we were redeemed. Our names were written into the Lamb's book of life, which was slain before the foundation of the world. No accuser, nobody, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which was manifested on the cross of Calvary And now in all the redeemed, it is being manifested. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. What shall I say? Since 30 years, nothing but slander, nothing but character assassination, as one never heard it on the earth. And then the comfort, this wonderful comfort, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In public meetings, in the TV, all over, nothing but character assassination. And then, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Hallelujah.
We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we are bearing his reproach. We are going outside the camp to bear the reproach of Christ. I bear it. Sometimes very heavy, but I bear it. I like to bear it. Verse 38, for the sake of the elected ones. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us summarize briefly. The Lord God has ordained it that way, that we can live at the end of the time of grace, that we have known, we have become known, we came to know what God promised, and we can have part in what God is doing right now. Let me emphasize it here. Whoever hears the call of God today, please, don't ask for time to think about it. But today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. We don't know what will be tomorrow. Today, we have heard his voice. Also, all who didn't make their decision fully to the Lord or for the truth yet, today, we want to make our decision. Now, I would like to sincerely ask, not to get a confirmation here, I just would like to ask sincerely, how many believe that it is true what Brother Branham was told in the 16 quotes, namely, that not he, but that the message which was entrusted to him would be carried into all the world. God bless you. And you will see, it will be worth it to believe. It has been worth it to believe. And the second point is that, with a statement of faith, it just goes through all my bones that all of mankind in all the religions and also in Christianity, they were misled, they were lied to, they were deceived. The creed which cannot stand before God. Our statement of faith is in this book, in no catechism. And let it be said once again, if from the lips of the Almighty God are coming the words already in the first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Just imagine If this one in the midst would be the Father, and here there would be another one to this side, and another one to this side, and God says, you shall have no other gods beside me. What shall these do besides him? Do they belong there? No, they don't belong there. People were misled. Let it be complained to God. I say it once again. Brother Branham, he emphasized it of the three-cornered club, that through the doctrine of the Trinity, in every revival, damage was caused, and that the revival somehow was suffering by it. Friends, now it has to be cleaned up completely. And I'm asking now, how many are ready to believe the biblical statement of faith out of conviction, to defend it, to believe it and to defend it? How many? Amen. Everything else we leave to God. We will not sin. We don't give our mind for the decision. And we don't give our hand for the signature. No, we remain connected with God, with the Lord. Also, death will not separate us from the love of God. No, death will only take us over to the Lord. So, we don't have to be afraid from death, of death. So we carry the divine message. It would have been worth it to mention about the great falling away. 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of sin will only be manifested when the great falling away is here. And now we see how it is here, how the man of sin is coming more and more into the center. Hebrews 3, verse 12 will also be informed. Whoever goes then to the Old Testament gets even more information. When the people of Israel were turning away from the one true God, and when they were serving other gods, this was the falling away from the living God. And in that moment, where in Christendom, where these gentlemen there, where they turned away from the one true God and making other gods out of it, in that moment it happened. And it is happening until this very day. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters, to our God be just the honor for the revelation of His Word. We thank the Lord for the ministry of all the prophets, for the ministry of all the apostles, for the Old and for the New Testament, and for the harmony which we find therein. And we thank God for the ministry of Brother Branham, who brought us the divine last message in conformity with the Old and New Testament. Also the emphasis about the Godhead, about the biblical water baptism, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all who wish to be baptized today, let it be said to you, if you consecrated your lives to the Lord, really, if you have given it to the Lord, if you have experienced a conversion, a turning to Him, if you made the experience, if when you feel that you feel, because it's written, nobody can come to me except the Father draws him first. If you are feeling that pull, if you feel that this sermon has spoken to you, that He draws you, come to Him. Until today, He never cast out one until today, not one. All who came to Him, nobody needed to make himself better than he is. All could come as they were. Also you can come as you are, and you can consecrate your life to the Lord. And then you can make the covenant of a good conscience by the water baptism. confirming it to God, and then the Lord will do the rest in your lives, as He did it already with us. I can remember it very well. I just say it briefly. When we translated the first sermons of Brother Branham here in Krefeld, you all know, my daddy was also a bit a lay preacher. Brother Schugelis knows it. Others also know it. But when then the subject of water baptism came, there he said, if it is written in the Bible, then it shall happen. And at the first water baptism in Krefeld, in the city, in the Gerber Street, I baptized 16 persons, and among them was my daddy and my mom. They belonged to the first ones. They belonged to the first ones who received the word of God in reverence and who got it revealed by God. Precious brothers and sisters, it's grace. It is grace that God speaks to us. It's grace that He reveals His word and will unto us. Grace that we have reverence in our heart, and that we may follow the Lord. Are you happy to be part of the elect? Just bear all the reproach. Bear all the reproach of Christ. Bear also my reproach. Bear it with you. Bear it also, so that we can see the glory of God together. Just bearing it together. Praying for one another. Walking forward. Also you in Italy, beloved brother, just go forward together with the Lord. God will make all things well in all peoples, tongues, and nations. With you in Paris, with you in Brussels, all over, God will make all things well in all of Europe and all over the world. At the end, there will be a bride church. There will come up a bride without spot and without wrinkle. One heart, one soul, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, being led by the Holy Spirit, one heart and one soul. To our God be the honor also for this very important day. This is a decisive day, not only for us here, but for all the world. And may God give grace to it, that His victory will be manifested. And all the people said, we stand up for prayer. I don't know whether our two sisters have a fitting song. Together, we can sing a chorus already. Perhaps, once again, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy.
Hallelujah. Halleluja. Ja. Mein Gott, ja, mein Gott, ja. Mein Gott.
Maranatha war das Kennwort in der ersten Christenheit, wo die Hoffnung seines Kommens aller Herzen hat erfreut, welche Aussicht Braut des Lammes ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Maranatha, sei auch heute Losungswort im Christentum. Lass die Herzen höher schlagen, aller dies sein Eigentum. Welche Aussicht Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Maranatha, Trost der Christen, heute in der Zeit der Not. Jesus kommt uns zu erlösen aus der Trübsal, Sorg und Tod. Welche Aussicht Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Maranatha, gürt die Lenden, halte deine Lamp bereit. Bereits die Botschaft seines Kommens kräftig aus in dieser Zeit. Welche Aussicht Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Maranatha, er ist nahe, Endeszeichen sehen wir schon. Lasset wartend uns bereit sein für den Platz auf seinem Thron. Welche Aussicht Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Welche Aussicht Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ja, Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Ich sage es nur noch.
I just say it.
Zur Information.
For your information.
Ich habe vor mir.
Before me.
Den Rundbrief.
There is the circular letter of December 2006.
Und hier haben wir.
And here we have.
Den Schweizer Büchertisch.
The table with all the brochures in Zurich, with a nice photograph, with all the sermons of Brother Branham are shown. The table is richly prepared. All the sermons, since the opening of the seals, they were translated. In Zurich, one sees it very nicely. Now the question, was it necessary that somebody translates in Switzerland? Was it necessary that one translates in Krefeld? Was it necessary? Was it necessary? I tell you the truth. Not for my sake, not because of me, but because of the church. All these All these extra things, they have to stop. The church of the Lord has to find together. The believers want to be together. The so-called shepherds, the so-called self-called shepherds, they are the ones who are misleading the sheep and are drawing them to follow them. Therefore, now let us pray. That his own prayer from John is being fulfilled, so that they all may be one. Father, you in me and I in them. Whether in Paris, whether in Brussels, whether here or there, that all who are born of God, all who are pardoned, all who have found the Lord, and who were born for a living hope, and who received the promised word for this time, that they just find together, and that the Lord can build his church and can complete it unto the glorious day of his return. Then the question, who wants to consecrate his life fully to the Lord and who wants to be baptized? Do we have some in our midst who want to be baptized? Please raise your hand. There, I just see one hand. Two, three, four. Okay, please come to the front. Do you have something on your heart? Pardon? Please come to the front. Praise and thanks. Praise and thanks. Just come by faith. You are speaking all German? You consecrated your life to the Lord? Did you consecrate your life? You also? You did consecrate your life to the Lord. God bless you. Have faith. Have faith. God loves you. He saved you. He has forgiven you all things. You are pardoned. And now today, you are walking the way of faith and the way of obedience. Because that's how it is written. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, all who gladly received his word were baptized. All who you are gathered here, they did it already. And now the Lord also added you. And sister, you will then also take off your trouser and you will put on a skirt. It is like this in the biblical church, that the women are clothed as women and men are clothed as men. Also, from this day on, not only the inward thing, but also the outward will be changed according to the word of God. It doesn't start outside, it starts on the inside. But if it has started on the inside, then it unfolds to the outside also. So, we will pray now for you. We will commit you into the grace of the Lord and we will wish you God's blessing. Are you ready from today on to follow the Lord, to walk in his footsteps, to be faithful to him until you come from believing unto seeing? Then just say Amen. God bless you. Now we raise our hands and we pray. Beloved Lord, you ever faithful God, bless our brothers, bless our sisters whom you have added today. We are consecrate their lives unto you. Receive their lives. Receive it, Lord, please. and be with them all the days of their lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we will ask Brother Helmut Miskis that he comes and administers the baptism. You can wait a moment. We remain standing. Our beloved Brother Müller and our Brother Momo, they will again go for ministry in these countries where the Serbian language is spoken. In the former Yugoslavia, now it's mainly Serbia. And God could use Brother Müller already in a wonderful way. And Brother Momcilo Petrovic as his interpreter. And God has done great things. Also there will be a harvest of precious souls who have heard the last call. And Brother Müller and Brother Momcilo, please invite all to the 2nd of Saturday in November. Saturday, the 9th of November. We are in the second largest city in Serbia, in Novi Sad, to proclaim the word of God there. Let us now pray. Let us now pray. Thank, dear Lord. We pray for our two brothers. Bless them. Be with them. May your word be found in their mouths and hearts. May the last ones be called out. Bless our brothers and make them a blessing. In Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord. Remember also me on this next long trip through all of India, God willing, beginning in the high north, in New Delhi, via Mumbai, Hyderabad, and Vijayawada, and Chennai, and then to Sri Lanka, Colombo. I think exactly 14 days. On Wednesday I will leave. Remember me in your prayers. The moment is here to speak a clear language without parables, without taking regard to any damage to the kingdom of God. Things can only be helped if the truth is proclaimed. Error binds. Truth sets free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so, we thank God that we found grace in His sight. Take greetings with you. Greetings into all the world. Greetings to all the cities and all countries, all over Europe and all of Africa. Just take greetings with you, wherever it might be, until the ends of the earth. And now we ask Brother Schmidt to pray with us. And then we sing a chorus and we commit ourselves into the grace of God. Great God, we say thanks to you for your grace and faithfulness. We thank you that your word still accomplishes today for what it was sent for. People are still here, Lord, whom you have called. They are giving witness today. We thank you for these souls who consecrated themselves to you, Lord Jesus. Please bless them. Bless also the water baptism. Bless those who also will witness it. Let us go there and let us witness that you are the same and you are answering. Your word is still the same. Through thy word we have life, and the life was given to us Thanks be to you. I say once again thanks for all the souls who are newly added to you, be it young ones or older ones. With you it doesn't matter. Lord Jesus, thank you. Bless from the riches of your grace. And let us praise you and honor you. And let us glorify your name, O God of heaven, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. How many believe that God's word will accomplish for what it was sent for? Also, what was preached today, believe me, it will accomplish. It will accomplish for what it was sent for. And now, may the peace of God, which is higher than any understanding of men, may it reign our minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Yes, the grace of God be with us all. Maranatha, the Lord comes. And I believe he comes in our time. I just believe it. I believe that the return of our Lord is very near. God bless you and be with you. Remember the word in Psalms 19 from verse 8, which Brother Kupfer had on his heart. Remember the testimony which Brother Thomas Schmidt brought with. He gave even greetings from Billy Paul unto me. God can direct hearts as the rivers of water. It's still the time of grace. The Holy Spirit is still at work. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, there must come up enough faith. God bless all who have a prayer request. Who has a prayer request in your body?
Amen.
Amen. You did it already. You believed. The grace of the Lord be with you. Let us sing Hallelujah, be praised. Till the next time.
Wie viele haben das, was heute hier gesagt wurde, recht verstanden?
How many did understand the things rightly, which were said? Yes.
Ja, Bruder Müller, das hat Gott getan.
Brother Müller, God did it. The Lord be with you.
Mit euch, Bruder Gilbert,
Brother Gilbert,
Bruder Tati,
Brother Tati,
mit allen Brüdern,
with all the brothers and all peoples, tongues, and nations. Slovakia, Czech Republic. Where's the brother from Poland? He shall also raise his hand. God bless him. Yes, God bless you. God bless all from near and far. Please come for water baptism. Please come to the pool. And afterward, you can then strengthen yourselves at the table. The Lord our God be with you. Amen.